best I can tell. The world's gone to hell, and we're all gonna miss it a lot.
Well, the numbers are in, and it turns out that in the state of Illinois, they have already brought in $10 million in weed taxes. That is a pretty amazing number. And it's not even March yet. Now, think about that. Now, where's that money going? And if there are places that, you know, the way that the state operates in these kinds of things is they always give you a bunch of like, well, it's going to go to help the children, and that's going to help the elderly, and that's going to help all the sick people. And they try to work on our, like, on our heartstrings, and it turns out it goes into some sort of something that it goes into the general fund because they're taking it out of somebody else's fund, you know? And so that it's like, I never know what to believe when I see these things. But I will say this. I like the number. And our guy, Andy Seeger, he's our pot guru. He's the king of pot, as far as I'm concerned. he's got some other numbers, too, about job opportunities, right? And things that are happening here in Illinois. Because there's like there's a white-collar job boom because of the green.
There's an every-collar job boom because of the green. So green-collar job boom.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the green collar. Now, we'll get to, because downstate, there's a lot of grow facilities, right? And they're looking for people who have cultivating skills.
Yeah.
Right? Let's talk a little bit about that first.
Sure.
So what is it, farmers? Is it farm hands? I mean, who's getting employed down there?
I mean, it is everything. You go to some of these conventions and big agriculture is there, HVAC and heating, lighting, glass manufacturing for, you know, the grow houses. Every sort of ancillary business is getting a boom from this. You know, if you were in HVAC sales, why wouldn't you call up every cultivator that's about to get a license? So there's a bunch of economies around.
How many are
campus
coming online right now? Of
cultivation.
Yeah.
You know, it's still restricted to just the medical ones that are expanding. And then we just opened up 40 licenses for craft growers that are kind of restricted to 14,000 square feet of canopy space, so grow space.
Right.
So a very limited amount of space. But some of these big guys have hundreds of thousands of square feet or millions of square feet in Canada of grow space. So that's where the scale is. But, you know, the
and that will get bigger as this is like toes in the water right now.
Yeah, we're at like the hockey stick inflection point, if we'll take that analogy.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, like, it's just
hockey
on
town.
The way up.
Yeah.
This is only going forward. So any type of job, if you're already doing a job, it's likely in cannabis as well. So the farming, the farm hands, agriculturally, the strains, high-end science, all the way up there, that cultivation definitely has a ton of opportunity in it.
Right.
There is supply chain issues and logistics and transportation. There is people management and skill management at retail. There's just basic retail. There is every sort of job in this industry.
Andy, this may seem like a bizarre question, but it just occurred to me that this is a real boon to like the glass roof industry, right?
It's a boon to a ton of industries
that you'd
that.
Never think about,
like the glazers
businesses. And all that stuff.
Yeah, big ag is coming for this. I mean, it's a lot of guys in blue shirts and black slacks at a lot of these conferences that used to be at, you know, the dry agricultural conferences, and now they're at a cannabis conference. You know, they're there to set up this industry as a legitimate industry. So they get into the industry, it also legitimizes the industry if we recognize it as helping grow the culture and the people.
How can Illinois, because we could use a little help here on some things, Andy. I don't know if you're familiar.
A lot of things.
Yes, we got a few problems.
Backlog of things.
Yes. So let's just say that, you know, economic growth is and becoming known for something and reestablishing the brand. Obviously, financial services and stuff like that. All the Chicago big stuff.
Sure.
But hard and heavy manufacturing is, you know, it's in flux.
Yeah.
Thank God we got in Bloomington. You got, you know, two new car factories that are going up, and you got there are some green shoot moments here in the state of Illinois. But the real green shoot, I think, can come from this.
Yeah, absolutely. Up and down the state. You know, Chicago has definitely become a hub of cannabis, not just in the Midwest, but in the country.
Could Illinois lead the nation in a lot of ways here?
In a lot of ways, yeah. I mean, we are a CPG hub. That's why we're seeing a lot of white-collar jobs flocking to this industry. Green Thumb Industries is here. Cresco is here. Some of the biggest players are here in Chicago, taking advantage of the Chicago talent that comes from big CPG. You know, my background is in beer. I worked for Constellation and Miller Coors. It's kind of a close jump to jump into cannabis, but we're seeing people from all the big CPGs here of Jim Beam and Wrigley, all of these people are getting in because their skills are required in cannabis. Cresco's big enough now that it needs a finance department.
Andy, hold on 1 second. We'll come back. We'll talk about this. And if people have questions about jobs in the pot world, Andy can answer them. 312-981-7200. You looking for another job? You want to be in the marijuana business? I think it's a growth industry. There's no question about it. And you won't feel like you're growing. You'll actually feel like you're floating, which is, I think, the most important thing. Here she is. Lauren Lapka will tell us about the traffic and the weather, and we'll come back to your phone calls. 312-981-7200.
Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home.
I love that part.
They'll stone you when you're there all alone.
Andy Seeger, the weed doctor, as we're calling him here, cannabis research manager at Brightfield Group. He's our weed expert. He's the weed editor of the Rokan Show, unpaid position. And this
pro bono
is a we were talking about businesses, jobs, because obviously, this has been a hit in Chicago and in the state of Illinois. So far, $10 million in taxes have been raised. I mean, that's on. Do we know total sales for the first 2 months or
not
almost
the first 2 months? We know the first month was near 40. So this 10 is off of that.
It's off the 40.
And the products are all kind of mixed up in the terms of what they charge for taxes. So we can figure out what was sold and all that kind of stuff later. But this is a big number.
Right.
We know where it goes, that 35%
and
it's
holding
general fund.
Right. Are we reporting? Are the stores reporting that they're holding these kinds of sales numbers in February?
Yeah, I think so. We're still in a supply shortage, so they're selling as much as they possibly can. So anything that comes to market is flying off the shelves. You know, this is still restricted by the amount of access that we have. It's just a very large medical market still at this time. We just don't tax some conditions.
Now, a lot of people want to know how they can make money out of this. Whether
sure.
it's working in it or investing in it. I think you already know.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of working for you. Ali, you're on WGN. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, hello. Love your show. Listen every day. My question would be, I've invested in some stuff probably about 6 months ago, maybe 9 months ago, and it is tanked. Are there any investment opportunities? Is there anything to watch for?
Ali, can I just ask you, did you invest in the Canadian company?
Yes. I got a Tilray. I've got Canopy, and then I got an MTF, I believe it's called MJ. All of it just, yeah. I mean, dumped.
Okay.
I mean,
now we did talk about. Hold on. This is a great question because we addressed this with Andy last time we were talking to him. Explain a little bit about what happened there, Andy.
Yeah, so there was just kind of this bubble emerging early last year where there was a lot of liquidity in the market, a lot of venture capital, a lot of overhyped stock, a lot of mergers happening with big dollar numbers that really never make sense. So Canopy got bought by $4 billion worth of Constellation money. You know, that's
right,
a very, very large number.
Yeah.
That scared a lot of people in the industry because nobody ever thought that number would be achieved. So a lot of overvaluation happened, and then we saw the correction come in the second half of last year that really popped a lot of the value out of that. So a lot of these big companies are struggling. You know, they're laying off. They're having trouble writing checks, and we would have never thought that these companies would be in that kind of trouble. But the market did see that correction, so if you're investing, you kind of have to be in it for the long haul, and you have to diversify because we don't know who the winners and losers are going to be yet. The market doesn't know. The state could do something completely different. New states could open up. New York could open up, and that vastly changes. Or federal legalization. So there's still a lot of unknown. And if you go forward and you invest kind of just generally, again, you can invest in ancillary services, HVAC, all the other things that we just talked about. You know, they're probably on the rise because of this. So there are ways to invest in this without investing in plant-touching things that are risky because everything in this market is still very risky. Margins are very, very tight. Because regulations are very, very strict across a lot of markets.
Right. That will change over time here because upon the federalization of legal marijuana, that's going to take a lot of the handcuffs off.
Sure. Or just the expansion of the markets. You know, every market, every medical market, every adult use legal market is only expanding, only adding capabilities and access. It's not going backwards. So it's just going to be a matter of time until this grows up and is healthy and we could be helped along by the federal government, but they seem reticent.
Ali, does that help you?
Yes. Thank you guys so much. That was awesome.
Okay. Thanks. Joe, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, thanks for taking my call and talking about this. So I've been teaching
kind of DIY classes, if you will, pasta making classes, how to make candles out of wine bottles. And tonight we actually have our very first how to make your own edibles class, where we're showing extraction and
I see some emergency room visits before this is all said and done. But
I already got it covered. We're using hemp based CBD with less than 0.03 THC in there, just because I thought that through.
Low and slow. Is that what it is? Isn't that what's the term that you
low
guys?
And, that's very, very low. Yeah.
Yeah. Low and slow.
Hemp
all
is,
right.
Very, very.
Yeah. So it's basically a CBD product, and it's more so just to show. And we're not even in these classes actually pushing the marijuana component. We're telling you could do it with lavender or chamomile, but
sure.
We know, you know, what the ultimate goal of most folks are. So
yeah, we do.
That said, without trying to be the next Mindy Siegel and trying to get my own edibles line out there, and without getting paid, you know, minimum wage to do what I love to do as a chef, as a graduate of Kendall, I'm kind of looking at this and going, how do I, you know, where do I step
monetize.
Up? So teaching classes, obviously, is one of the ways, but where else?
Yeah, I think there is a ton of interest in edibles. Edibles had a huge year in being able to increase their onset time. So it doesn't hit you the hour and a half later. It hits you a little bit more like a beer. It's not quite there yet, but bioavailability, so more of that THC gets absorbed, more of the stuff that gets you high. So edibles have come a really long way, and it's very science-based now. That they're packaged and it's 100 milligrams of 10 gummies and you can reliably consistently trust that. So where you can fit in that space is all these people will need those kitchens and that experience of, you know, what you seem to have in your background to find out how the emulsification techniques can be perfected and what products can come to market. So everybody out there with a brand idea probably needs somebody to help them make their product.
And where do they go for that?
That was my next question, because I have the brand idea, and it's just finding that, you know, it's trying to be that next chef who gets taken in by Cresco to say, you're going to be our new edibles person,
sure.
And go.
Yeah. Or part of the team, yeah.
Or a smaller brand on your own. You know, there's a lot of incubators out there that are helping small and minority-owned businesses do these kind of things, make these brands, find kitchens like the Hatchery on the west side here that helps you know, youths develop kitchen and knife skills. So mm-hmm. There are different groups out there that are helping raise the education level and helping kind of network people together to create the culture to really support this industry. Because right now it is truly just transactional.
Is there a place on the web or somewhere else people can go and look for that?
There's a bunch of groups kind of doing a bunch of different things. You know, there's companies doing this. Toasted and Hosted is one that's kind of doing in-home and other some things. Edible companies of Wana and all of those that are here doing that. So you know, find the brands, look at other brands in other states, see what they're doing, and you'll see what types of positions are available there.
All right. Hope that helps.
Well, I'd love to have you throw me on hold and give my information to your producer and pass it along if
sure.
anybody needs my help out there.
Right,
I'm
sure.
definitely willing to help.
Okay. All right, I'm not coming to your kitchen yet.
Everybody
but
needs help.
Isn't that the truth? All right, Joe, hold on 1 second. Andy Seeger, we're talking with him. He is from, he's a research manager, cannabis research manager at Brightfield Group, and he's our weed doctor. He's the guy who's in charge. I change your nickname every time you're on, but there's very few people right now who understand this business as well as you do. And it's fascinating to me that you came from the liquor business and the beer business, essentially, before coming into this. And it's the mechanics are very, very similar. And the mechanics from 100 years ago, or a little 90 years ago after Prohibition, this whole idea of taking it back out of the black and the gray market and moving it into the open market is the mechanics seem to be the same.
Yeah, they're very close, and there's a lot of differences. I really never thought I would use two economic degrees to get paid for weed, but here I am. And that
poop
goes,
happens.
Right, and that goes to what we said earlier of you can find your skills required in this market somewhere. You know, there's only going to be more access and availability. There's only going to be more. So the more that we can grow our culture, more that we can grow what we want out of this market, whether it's cafes or things outside of retail, we can still build that, and that's yet to come because this is still just the first stages.
And that would also require amendments to the law, right? Additional pieces to the law to have a cafe.
The law is going to get changed. You know, the law is going to continue to evolve. They're going to take bits and pieces from other markets that we've seen do successfully. We're going to add licenses for transportation and distribution and all sorts of other things. So this is only going to evolve and add more components, more intricacy, whether it's delivery, direct to consumer, online sales. You know, Canada, you can get it shipped direct to your door next day. So what does that look like if that's implemented? So the state is going to look at that, but it's going to take a very, very hesitant, slow approach to implementing anything new.
I want to move back to something you were saying, though, about the edibles.
Sure.
Because this is the thing that when, you know, people my age and older, I mean, there's guys in their, you know, late 50s and 60s and 70s that are in this now, right? Yeah. And they smoked in the 60s.
The boomerangs, they're
right?
back.
They're back, exactly. But the edible was always the confounding thing because they don't want to smoke in their house. They don't want to necessarily.
But you don't know what's in your edible or how much it has.
Yes, and I will.
Everybody's got a bad story.
Yeah. Oh, I saw a bad story happen in front of me. A couple of friends of mine, I were at a sporting event. Yeah, and it was like, the guy goes, hey, I took a couple of edibles on the way here. And he's like a business guy. He's a business guy with like a really expensive car. And he couldn't drive his car out of the stadium parking lot because he took two because it was like, this wasn't enough. And then boom. And then the next one hit him. Right. And it's like, so that you're saying that's changing now.
Yes, and there's a lot of interest behind that. I mean, the beverage giants are here, the food giants are here to try to figure out how they can get you products down from really low doses, like 1 milligram, 2 milligrams in a gummy that you can pop and just hits you within 15 minutes and you feel that slight effect.
Mm-hmm.
Or drinks. You know, how do you get somebody into a cafe having a THC drink and keep them there for a couple hours like a bar? Is a bar experience something somebody wants?
Stoned, I guess. It's different than alcohol because it processes differently.
Slightly differently, right. So if we can increase that onset time, how quickly you feel it, and you have a 4 milligram THC drink, is that kind of equitable to a beer in an on-public setting?
But how it accumulates, because it doesn't, like the processing is how it burns out in your system too.
Right.
It doesn't burn out the same rate that alcohol does because it's the sugar. So
yeah, that consumer education piece is big.
Yeah, that'd be big.
Low and slow, learn what you're doing, learn what you want. But yeah, there's definitely this big movement behind how do we get products that people are already familiar with but have THC versions of them.
Andy Seeger, we'll talk to you again. He's the weed doctor, as far as you know. Cannabis research manager at Brightfield Group. We'll talk to you soon. Let's check in now with the WGN Radio Newsroom. Here's Kim Gordon.